You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, November 18th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program today. We have got a very special guest joining us today. Renowned cannabis cultivator Jorge Cervantes is joining us at half past the hour, and he's going to stick with us for two segments. We're going to take him for the whole half hour. In our first segment, we're going to talk to Jorge about his new book, the Marijuana Encyclopedia, Cannabis Encyclopedia, I believe it's called, and his website, marijuanagrowing.com. And then in the second segment, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. If you've ever wanted to ask Jorge Cervantes a question about marijuana cultivation or just about himself, this is your chance. Coming up in our second segment around 3:45 today, our phone number is 971-533-7111. Also on the show today, time for us to go behind the headlines, where here in Oregon, just as we predicted, lobbyists from the League of Oregon Cities and the Sheriff's Association are all lining up in Salem to get a crack at the legislature to try to upend the will of the people with respect to marijuana legalization that we voted in at 56% here, Measure 91 in Oregon. We'll tell you all about that in Behind the Headlines. We'll also have time for some drug war data mining. And in hour two, we're going to push the radical rant out to hour two in the bottom of that hour. Around 4:30 p.m., I've got a chilling and tragic tale to tell you about how medical marijuana butter and a technicality in the medical marijuana law in Michigan caused a veteran cop to commit suicide on Sunday. And it's pretty shocking, you know, talking about the will of the people of Measure 91. What about the will of the people in Michigan who voted for medical marijuana? We'll tell you all about it and how this led to seven people's lives actually being upended and one person's life ended over medical marijuana butter in a medical marijuana state. Also on the show today, we'll have our daily Toker Tunes. Electric Bob will be calling in at 4:20 Pacific time, giving us some new electronic dance music to get grooving on. And also, just want to apologize for yesterday's show. We had a problem with our telephone connection to get to Dr. Mitch and to Dr. Dominic Corva. And we fixed that problem. Everything's working just fine, but apologize for being unable to bring you the entire show yesterday. I promise that's not something we like to have happen very often. Also, a quick heads up. Next week is Thanksgiving week. So Thursday and Friday, we will be off next week, the 27th and 28th, for Thanksgiving. And that means that Tuesday, December 2nd, 2 weeks from today, will be show number 500 for the Russ Belville Show. I can't believe we're already up to 500 shows, but there you have it. Pretty impressive, if you ask me. I really never thought I'd make it this far, and here we are at show number 500. Thank you for your support. And if you want to see me make it to show number 1,000, you can become a VIP member of 420radio.org. Just sign up at 420radio.org/donate. You can make a one-time donation via PayPal or credit card, or you can sign up for a monthly donation, a sustainer VIP membership that helps us pay all the bills, the bandwidth, the storage, the computer tech, the travel, everything that we do to bring this free live stream to you 24 hours a day. All right, thanks for joining us. We're coming back with the 420 Radio News right after this. The latest headlines for marijuana from across America and around the world. I'm Radical Russ. This is the Russ Belville Show. Stay tuned.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
Hey, what's up? This is Killer Mike, one half of Run the Jewels, and I'm telling you, November 23rd through 27th, you need to be at Cannabis Cup. I did it last year, and I got so high, I can tell you what color Jesus's furniture is. I got so high, I kissed the sky twice. I got so much enlightenment, I know Buddha's last name. Do you feel what I'm telling you right now? The people are great. You don't have to search or call your sketch-ass dealer who won't call you back. You don't have to go lurking through the hood to find good smoke. You need to get out of the country. You've been sitting on your block too long smoking weed. Get out and have an adventure. See you at Cannabis Cup, November 23rd through 27th. Yeah.
Weed Porn Daily with Oscar Diaz from Florida, replaying Mondays at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. The League of Oregon Cities says it will ask legislators to amend the marijuana legalization measure passed by voters 2 weeks ago to explicitly allow local taxes being sought by at least 70 cities, including Portland and several of its suburban neighbors. In addition to the fight over local taxation, legislators may also be asked to decide how localities can opt out of allowing retail sales at all. Measure 91 allows a community to ban sales only through a vote of the people at a general election. The League of Oregon Cities would like to allow city councils and county commissions to make that decision. Anthony Johnson, the chief sponsor of Measure 91, said that if anything, the legislature needs to make it crystal clear that the taxes approved by so many Oregon cities shouldn't be allowed to stand. Quote, "By discouraging retail sales with high taxes, you're then encouraging black market sales," end quote, said Johnson. Bob Marley, the late reggae superstar whose name is virtually synonymous with pot, will soon have his own marijuana label. Marley's family has joined with Privateer Holdings, a private equity firm focused on marijuana products, to develop Marley Natural brand weed. Marley Natural will offer, quote, "heirloom Jamaican cannabis strains," end quote, the very same pot Marley himself is said to have enjoyed. The company will also sell creams, lotions, and Marley-branded accessories. Brendan Kennedy, CEO of Privateer Holdings, believes the Marley brand has the potential to be the Starbucks of weed and reel in a sizable percentage of what is now a $1.53 billion domestic market for legal pot. Adweek speculates that if legalization trends continue, that market could grow to $10.2 billion by 2019, and Greenwave Advisors, a marijuana-focused analysis firm, estimates legit American marijuana sales could total as much as $35 billion by 2020. Starting early next year, tourists with a medical marijuana card from their home state can buy pot while visiting Las Vegas and other Nevada cities. A handful of other states offer similar reciprocity, including Rhode Island and Maine, but Nevada is the first major tourist destination state to honor other state systems, industry experts say. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority estimates that nearly 40 million people visit Sin City annually. The decision by state lawmakers to let tourists buy pot legally while visiting Nevada further opens the doors to marijuana tourism across the country. Colorado and Washington State already allow anyone to buy small amounts of pot, and at least one study has shown tourism interest in Colorado has skyrocketed since recreational sales began January 1st. Alaska and Oregon in the fall election legalized recreational marijuana sales in use, and Washington, D.C. legalized possession. The active molecules in cannabis kill brain cancer, another study has revealed. Scientists using an extract of whole plant marijuana rich in the pot
rich in the main psychoactive ingredient THC, as well as cannabidiol, or CBD, showed dramatic reductions in tumor volumes of a type of brain cancer. Writing in Molecular Cancer Therapeutics this month, the team recounts how they decided to build on existing research that shows cannabinoids have been shown to specifically inhibit glioma growth, as well as neutralize oncogenic processes such as angiogenesis. The researchers wanted to boost the success of cannabinoids, so they investigated using THC and CBD both alone and in combination with radiation in a number of glioma cell lines. Marijuana kills cancer cells in proportion to its dose and duration of treatment, researchers found, and whole plant cannabis rich in THC was more efficacious than pure lab-grade THC alone. Moreover, pre-treating cells with THC and CBD for 4 hours prior to irradiation increased the cancer-killing effects of the radiation. An Iowa Board of Pharmacy committee listened to debate Monday over reclassifying marijuana. Reclassifying marijuana from Schedule 1, highly abused drugs with no medical use, to Schedule 2, drugs that have medical use, could be a step toward legalizing medical marijuana production and distribution in the state. This is the next step proponents said must be taken to allow them to utilize a new state law that they currently cannot. Last year, the Iowa legislature approved a limited law allowing possession of cannabis oil for people with severe epilepsy, but when medical marijuana cards are handed out early next year, the cards will not provide protection from prosecution in other states or on the federal level for trying to transport or mail the cannabis oil. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. 420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
Salut mes amis, je m'appelle Marie-Jeanne et je vous invite à joignez-vous à l'équipe de High Times afin de célébrer la meilleure marijuana du monde lors de la 27e coupe annuelle du cannabis à Amsterdam du 23 au 27 novembre prochain. Pendant 5 jours, les membres du jury pourront participer à des séminaires, découvrir de nouveaux produits et voter pour leur variété de cannabis préférée retrouvée dans les meilleurs cafés de la vie. Les membres du jury auront aussi la chance de voir et d'entendre Action Bronson, Revolution et d'autres formations lors de la concert annuel de la Coupe. De plus, jeudi le 27 novembre, ne manquez pas la remise du prix du meilleur cannabis au monde par l'équipe de High Times. Découvrez le plaisir de la marijuana en toute liberté. Venez participer avec High Times à la Coupe du cannabis à Amsterdam. À bientôt!
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Welcome back, everyone. 14 after the hour, and today we're going behind the headlines where the Oregonian reports that the League of Oregon Cities is among the lobbyists that are trying to get the legislature to pretty much overturn and supersede the will of the people that voted for Measure 91. At issue here is taxation. And as you can see on our screen here, over 70 cities in Oregon have passed marijuana sales taxes, most of them at about 10%, although there are a few of them that are somewhat higher, including the, what was that place called? LaGrande has a 25% tax. Fairview has a 40% tax that they've passed. And a lot of these have a tax that is yet to be determined. Most of these are only for recreational marijuana taxes, although some of them are also including a taxation on medical marijuana. Scappoose at 20%, St. Helens at 20%, also above the level that has been proposed by most of the rest of these cities. But of course, the problem with this is that Measure 91, which was passed by a vote of 56% of the people, explicitly vests the taxation power over marijuana with the state, period. And it also explicitly repeals and supersedes all local ordinances that are inconsistent with it. These local taxes on marijuana would be, by definition, inconsistent with the state having the sole taxation power over marijuana. Now, the League of Oregon Cities and their lobbyist, Scott Winkles, they want to play this little shenanigans game where they say, oh no, we're not taxing marijuana. We're taxing sales of marijuana. We're not taxing the weed that's changing hands. We're taxing the money that's changing hands. That's their little game trying to get around this. Their other little game is to say, well, Measure 91 only taxes marijuana at the production level, the grower level, and since it's got exclusive right to tax at the production level, that doesn't mean that other localities and counties don't have the right to tax at any other level, including the retail. Well, this is just, like I said, legislative shenanigans, and it's just running completely counter to the will of the people. We were quite clear throughout all the messaging for Measure 91 that the state would have the sole taxation authority, primarily for the reason if we have a whole bunch of sales taxes in all these little different cities and counties, that just boosts the price of marijuana. This is the lesson we have learned from Washington and Colorado. And we explicitly told our voters that we had learned the lessons of Washington and Colorado. We were going to do things differently than Washington and Colorado. We were going to figure out what their mistakes were in Washington and Colorado. And one of those big mistakes is overtaxation of marijuana. Washington State taxing at 25% at all three levels, production, processing, and retail, in addition to state and local sales taxes. Colorado doing excise taxes of 10% and 15% plus the local taxes. And we found with that, the prices of marijuana remain high above the black market price. So much so that the pot shops in Washington State have actually had to complain to cops about pot dealers hanging out in the parking lots, undercutting their prices. But the League of Oregon Cities, representing all these cities that were supposedly against marijuana, now that marijuana has passed by an overwhelming majority, they want their slice of the pie. Despite the fact they get their slice of the pie, that we've got 10% of the money going to cities and 10% of the tax money going to counties based on how many pot shops they allow. The other thing they want to fight here, we made it possible for a city or county to opt out of all marijuana licensing. You don't want pot grows, you don't want pot shops, you don't want pot processing. You can vote to make that banned in your city or county. But you gotta do it through a vote of the people, and you gotta do it in a general election. None of these shenanigans of placing something on a primary election when hardly anybody votes and you can get a large group of people in a city or county to throw that election, and most definitely not putting it in the hands of a city council or county commission, where a simple vote of five or six people who could have all sorts of political ties and lobbyists pulling their arms, getting them to vote against legalization, could make it happen. No, if you're going to ban people from enjoying their right to be a part of the marijuana market, then you've got to demonstrate that all of the people of that city or county, at least a majority of them, are against that. Not just a few politically connected city councilmen or county commissioners. And they're also complaining that they need all this tax revenue. They need these separate city taxes because, quote, nobody's going to call the state of Oregon if marijuana smoke is drifting into their yard from a neighbor's house, argued the lobbyist for the League of Oregon Cities. Well, here's the problem here, Scott. If you've got marijuana revenue, if you've got marijuana licensing and shops going on, your city or county is going to get some of that tax revenue. But the idea that a city can't handle a public nuisance complaint when it already has plenty of money and cops to handle those kind of things is ridiculous. You're grasping at straws, trying to justify a tax that the people clearly voted against. And one more thing. All of these laws on taxation of marijuana, are copied from the alcohol laws. So why aren't the League of Oregon Cities calling for the local right to tax alcohol? Oh yeah, because they're really politically connected and their lobbyists would never let that happen.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Man, I can't believe how nakedly they are trying to go against the clear will of the people. They just got their asses handed to them in an election, and now they want to try to overturn our will by going to the legislature? Well, guess what? 420 Radio will be there, the Russ Belleville Show will be there, and the marijuana community of Oregon will be there every hearing, every step of the way.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here for the Canador, a practical solution to keep herbs from drying. The Canador is the perfect airtight storage system for your fine herbs. From the half-inch thick walnut and cherry wood construction, clear-top perforated jars for storage, and the humidity bead system that keeps your herbs at a perfect 65% relative humidity. I keep all my herbs in the Canador, and you should too. Check out Canador.com for more information.
High Times presents Free Weed from Danny Danko from Brooklyn, New York. Replaying Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name.
We're at the Seattle Cannabis Cup, and we're going to smoke a joint. Mascots and Bud here. What's this bud called?
This is Pineapple Skunk from Humboldt Seeds.
Maybe get a close-up before you. Well, there it is right there. Pineapple Skunk. Let me get the camera close in so we can see what that's all about.
This one tested at 18.9% THC max.
Wow.
We have another one that tested at 20.
Those two, you know which one is which.
Very good flavor.
Nice. Can I roll it up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this a grinder?
Yep.
Look at that grinder.
And hey, while I got you here, I gotta pick your brain for a second.
Okay.
Did you ever know that chlorophyll does not absorb yellow light?
What's the yellow one? It doesn't absorb yellow light?
No.
I have no idea.
Chlorophyll absorbs blue and it absorbs red. It does not absorb yellow. So, with that being said, would you have any idea how high pressure sodium lights work if they're not feeling chlorophyll?
Enlighten us.
Zero. Zero. You know, chlorophyll cannot absorb yellow light. It can absorb green. It's not the right voltage or photon. It doesn't accept it. And so what we have now is, after some research, we found this protein right here called phycocyanin. This is a protein in cannabis that pulls electrons out of the water stream. Why is that important? Because now chlorophyll is going to take all the energy that it can, it's going to convert it into electrons, and it's going to dump it in the water. The plant's 90% water. There's water channels throughout the entire plant. So it's going to pump all the electrons into the water and allow the electrons to move throughout the plant. These proteins take those electrons out, put them at the binding spot where chlorophyll will use it to split a water molecule. And so with the water molecule being split by these proteins, it's all possible with the phycocyanin. Why does nobody know about this? Why is the University of Michigan and all the other agricultural schools not talking about phycocyanin? Why is the McGraw-Hill textbook?
Why are they keeping this from us?
Exactly. This cures our liver. This repairs liver damage. It regrows liver tissue. From there, all your organs in your body, your skin, every single thing in your body functions better because your bloodstream is clean. That's what this does. And it's in cannabis at a high concentration level. So if you were willing to juice the cannabis leaves, the plant, put them into a blender, eat them, this is like a vegetable. It will cure a lot of problems in your body, starting with your liver. And there's a lot of people that are having liver issues. And you know, you don't have to take my word for it. This is something
we discovered along our research, because we were changing the colors, trying to figure out which pigments are absorbing light, and we found this pigment. And we found it, and right now, as you can see, as I printed off this great PDF document, guess what they want to do with phycocyanin? They want to put it into a pill, just like everything else. Look, if you have the ability to grow cannabis, you have this in your fingertips. It's available to you. All you got to do is put it into a blender and eat it. It's close to 20% concentrated. So I encourage everybody to check it out on the internet. Do a Google search, the wonder molecule phycocyanin, be educated, find out how this is helping people, and then it's easy to understand why it's not in our history books.
That's mind-blowing. That was mind-blowing. I'm glad you shared that with us. I got a joint roll. It's time to blaze right here, right now.
High Times Cannabis Cup. We're in Seattle. The weather's good. It's not raining.
Oh, guess what? No light.
You had my lighter.
I stole your lighter?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. I got a light. Okay, here we go.
Oh, look at this dab here, guys. Here. I'm going to take a peek at that.
Yeah, check out Fumo there. Mr. Fumo's.
Hey, that kind of
huge red.
Oh, my gosh. That's a dab.
Nice. Like I told you, that's the only way to jab my people. That's a 5-foot freaking dab.
Awesome, man.
All right, so who wants to play the game?
You all want to play, right?
Okay, all the time for us to blaze. You blazing with us, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. So Chris got that OG.
Some coverage from the High Times Cannabis Cup in Seattle featuring one of our sponsors, Lush LED Lighting. You can always check out the Lush LED Lighting booth. That's Matt from Lush LED Lighting and the rest of the crew there. Of course, the next Cannabis Cup is coming up in Amsterdam. You've heard the ads here on 420 Radio. Don't forget, though, that we've got domestic Cannabis Cups coming up as well. In February 7th and 8th, we've got the San Bernardino Southern California Cannabis Cup. And then the first three-day Cannabis Cup, April 18th, 19th, and 20th, will take place in Denver, Colorado. Then, coming in June, the Bay Area Cannabis Cup somewhere around San Francisco. And in July, two Cannabis Cups, one right here in Portland, Oregon, and another Cannabis Cup in Clio, Michigan. Great Cannabis Cups out there. And then the final Cannabis Cup of the year in Seattle, in September. We'll bring you all of them right here on 420radio.org.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, educated.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. They say marijuana grows like a weed, but growing high-quality marijuana takes more than just throwing a seed in the ground. Join us as we speak with the most recognized cannabis horticulturists in the world and take your live grow questions in our Cultivator's Corner.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 29 after the hour, and joining us via Skype, we've got Jorge Cervantes on the line. How you doing, Jorge?
Hey, Russ, really good, really good. I'm just sitting here in the kitchen my office is a little cold today. And so anyway, I'm sitting here in the kitchen having a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the rain here in Northern California.
So you're in Northern California right now.
Yeah. I'm not in Spain until I've got a new book coming out. So I've got to stay there. I got to stay here all year.
Oh,
I'd rather be in Spain, but
no. Yeah, I can understand. Hey, folks, we just want to let you know that we're going to be taking live calls here for Jorge in our next segment. So get on standby there. The phone number here is 971-533-7111. Or you can ask a question through our chat room. But we're going to save those for the second segment. So let's get them built up in chat. Our chat administrators there can help you out with that if you have any questions. All right. So, Jorge, you mentioned you've got a new book coming out. You always seem to have a new book. And there's so many people that have learned how to grow quality cannabis thanks to your books. Tell us about the latest.
Well, let's see. I've got the rough right here. This is it.
There it is.
It's
the cover is extra.
It's called Cannabis Encyclopedia.
Okay.
And this is the cover of it. And this is kind of an idea of what it looks like.
Wow.
I think it's 596 pages and 8.5 by 11. So as you can see, I've been calling it the beast lately because the damn thing, I mean, there's so many photos, there's so many details. I've been editing and doing just details for the last 6 months, and it's like,
oh yeah, I know how that can happen. So this is, you know, as an encyclopedia, more a reference guide. I mean, a lot of your books are kind of like from the beginning to the end of a grow cycle, step by step, but this would be more a compendium of everything, right?
It's got everything. I got the table of contents right here. I can go through it real quick. It touches on medical cannabis. That's really a good chapter. Because there's two chapters in the book that I did not write myself, and they're the first two chapters, because there's just other people better at it than me. They're good writers, and their knowledge level is higher. But the first chapter, medical cannabis, that's written by Fred Gardner, and Fred also started the magazine O'Shaughnessy's, which it's definitely the best magazine for medicinal cannabis. And he's got a couple of sites. One is called beyondthc.com. And the other one is projectcbd.org. And then the second chapter is written by Measuring Cannabinoids. It's written by a scientist, Samantha Miller from Pure Analytics. And I'll tell you, she did a way better job than I can do because she... she works with this every day, all day long, you know, and has a big history with science. Third is medicinal varieties, and I touch on everything there, you know, a lot of CBD stuff as well, life cycle. And then it goes through the entire gamut, not so as not to bore you at all. Garden rooms, greenhouses, all the details, just like the other books, but it's totally there. And concentrates is really beefed up. Everything's beefed up. And then I also added a cooking chapter. And I didn't put a ton of recipes. I figure that's kind of like for the other books. I put the hard science on how this stuff works so you won't screw it up. And I think a lot of that's missed.
Yeah, you know, a good guide as to how decarboxylization works and whether the necessary temperatures you need to use, how to make cannabis butter. Some of the basics, I think, get skipped over as everyone wants to jump to the cookie recipe or the pizza recipe or whatever it might be.
Very much so. And they just don't understand what they're doing. And many times they fail or have a marginal result. And that's just, you know, you spend the same amount of time doing both things. Either failing or doing a good job. I'd rather do a good job.
What a great idea. Jorge, also wanted to ask you, a story just came out today. I saw this in Time magazine. We covered it in the news about the Bob Marley family teaming up with Privateer Holdings to make Marley Natural, a branded cannabis brand. They're saying they're going to use Jamaican Landrace strains. What do you think about this branding of cannabis in this new legalized world? And how are we going to ensure that the brand is true?
Well, you know, if you look at alcohol, you got your Budweiser beer, You got your Lone Star, and those things are made in a factory, a huge factory. And then you have your nice little micro brews, like up in Oregon there, or they're all over the place now. And those are craft beers, and you can't take the craft out of this industry. They can try, and they're going to lower the price and everything. But we're going to see a lot of branding in the future. And something interesting about that, I didn't realize they had the biggest marijuana farm up there. The Marleys had the biggest marijuana farm up there in B.C.
Yeah, the B.C. Bud is coming back, and it's got the Marley name on it. I think that's like the two great tastes that taste great together, right? Chocolate right. And peanut butter.
Maybe they'll be able to get it across the border then.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out how that works, of course. We're speaking with Jorge Cervantes. He's the author of the Cannabis Encyclopedia. When is this going to be out, this new encyclopedia?
Jesus, I'm crossing my fingers. The damn things, I mean, I just get so frustrated because there's all these little details. It's not at the printer yet. My target date to have it back from the printer is March 1st. So that's what we're banking on now. I have a little bit of wood here to knock on.
Let's hope for that. And I know Cannabis Cup is coming up in Amsterdam, and we've got a whole bunch of them that are taking place all across America. When's the next event you'll be at where people might get to meet you in person?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, I'm going to be at the Emerald Cup next month, and I speak there, and I'm really excited about it because, you know, the Emerald Cup got to be a real big thing, but I've been in Spain the most of the time. I've been there the last 15 years, so, and I've been coming back to America. I have a house now in America, so it'll be my first attendance there, and it's really big because I went over to the Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa, California. And I went to the High Times Cup there, and I mean, it's a county fairgrounds, you know? I mean, that place is huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how big these cannabis cups have become, and now with legalization in four states, I can only see them getting bigger and bigger, and I think that's where it's going to be important for us to make sure that the voices in this industry, like yours, are respected as this industry becomes more mainstream and commercialized. I think there's going to be a lot of people getting into it who are in it for the money and would be willing to cut corners on quality or genetics, and we need people like Jorge out there, make sure they hold their feet to the fire. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's really funny. I've seen a lot of new people. In fact, I haven't even mentioned this to anybody publicly. I'll write it up on my website. I was just down in Colombia, about a month ago, I guess it was, maybe 5 weeks. And there's a group there that's trying to make a deal with the government to grow cannabis, you know. But I backed out of it because it was just too much. I mean, I don't trust them. It's all about money. And then I've seen tons of stuff, you know, about that. Business makes the world go round. So we're just going to have to deal with that approach, you know, as it comes up. But being afraid is not the way to look at it or start with rhetoric or anything. It's just get out there and do something.
There you go. While we're making legalization happen in U.S. state after U.S. state, Europe is also moving ahead with various forms of marijuana reform. I know you've been in Spain, like you said, the past few years, and they've got quite a cannabis club system going there. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how marijuana laws work in Spain?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, first off, you need to know a little bit about Spain. I lived there when Franco was the last dictator in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. And they could break into your house, knock your door down anytime, search your house. And so after Franco died, a communist, Suarez took over, and then after that, Felipe Gonzalez, and they went completely the other way for personal liberties. And now in Spain, you've got more personal liberties, way more than in the United States of America, yeah. Land of the free. And consequently, two, the drug war never arrived there. It never existed. So, and they're trying to get it to come, but it's too late. So basically, you could smoke all the time. You could do it low key, and there was never any real big problem with it. And so people started doing these consumer clubs. Actually, they started, maybe as 7 or 8 years ago, but they were at a real low level. Some people got in trouble. The cops always knew about it. I mean, they just didn't do anything. And about 3-4 years ago, it started in earnest, and Jaime Carrion from Resin Club, I go back to Spanish, pardon, from Resin Club also started, Resin Seed started Resin Club. They had a lot of trouble at first. They had, you know, and the guys, there's a woman that lives next door to the club, and it's like about this far away, no kidding, across the interior hallway. Her son's a cop, and she complained about it. And so the son had to do something because it's his mother, and then that's how it really all started. But they've really just taken off. There was about 300 to 400 of them at one time. Now they've gone down to about 250. They closed a lot of them. People didn't have a business license or permission. You know, things are a little bit more controlled that way for permissions. Mm-hmm. But once you get it, you know, it's fine. Hmm. So, but they're all over the place and they're really easy to go to. And the way it works, they're a private club and you can do anything in that private club you'd like as long as you're a member. So you just get a membership. It's a little scary, especially for foreigners, because you have to sign your name and show your documents. They take a picture of it. But unlike this country, they don't use that stuff against you. It's just to prove that you're a member. That's all. But yeah, there's all kinds of clubs there. There's like I say, they closed about 56 of them down for infractions, lack of licenses and whatnot. And everything else is going gangbusters. It's great. Hmm. You can just, you kind of have to look for them, and they're private. But you can ask people in the biggest city is Barcelona, where I live. And you can go there and purchase and consume cannabis easily.
So what do we need to know? ¿Dónde está Club de la Cannabis?
Yeah. ¿Dónde puedo fumar un leño?
There we go.
Where can I smoke a canuto or un joint?
Oh, that's a good tip. We'll have to get that in the encyclopedia too. Let us take a break, Jorge. When we come back, we got some questions from our chat room, maybe some live callers calling in at 971-533-7111. We're talking with Jorge Cervantes, the author of the Cannabis Encyclopedia. Should be out next spring sometime. Your questions coming up next.
Show, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Wait, you know what?
Hey, Jill, how are you? Everything's absolutely amazing. I haven't seen you for ages. I haven't seen you last week. I mean,
you're not invited.
What's your name?
Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me. I've met you before.
What are you laughing at? You look a bit stressed, a little bit panicky. You look a bit paper, you look a bit scary.
What's your name?
What's your name?
The more you mess with cannabis, the more it can mess with your mind. To find out more, talk to Frank.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. They say marijuana grows like a weed, but growing high-quality marijuana takes more than just throwing a seed in the ground. Join us as we speak with the most recognized cannabis horticulturists in the world and take your live grow questions in our Cultivator's Corner.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 45 after the hour, and as promised, we're sitting here with Jorge Cervantes taking your live questions at 971-533-7111. You can also get your question in via our chat room. It's available on ustream.tv, or just visit the 420radio.org website. You'll see the chat room over on the right side. Pretty easy to figure out. Welcome back, Jorge.
Hey, thanks, Russ.
And again, folks, the Cannabis Encyclopedia will be coming out very soon. And you've got a website out there for people to check out, Marijuana Growing. Tell them about that.
Well, actually, it's I'm very proud of the website. We've completely redone it. We've had the forum for about 2 years now, and that's grown really well. And we've got some really smart guys on there. It's wonderful. And tons of information, but it's a forum, and a lot of people just aren't into those. They're into quicker information. So what we did is we completely redid the front end of it, and we've got homepage all. And then the other thing about the front end is I've written so much. I mean, literally hundreds of articles and shorts, and done all kinds of videos and books. And then there's a lot of stuff that I haven't even published. Well, I started putting that on the website. And after about a month of organizing and putting it together, I think I got maybe somewhere between a third and a half of it on there, and I'm still putting stuff up. A lot of work. But it's really easy to navigate. So that's really cool. And, you know, you can see history, but the main thing is information, good, clean information. And then the other thing is I also started, just got into Facebook. I don't know, all that stuff kind of scares me. so I got some professional help, my 25-year-old nephew, who's way smarter than me. And he's helping me with it. And my gosh, it's just exploded. It's really incredible. And I concentrate on grow, you know. I mean, I could concentrate on other things, but I seem to be pretty good at growing.
Yeah, I guess so. So the Facebook page, just Jorge Cervantes, and then the...
Jorge Cervantes, actually, let me see. I just Skyped it to you. It's facebook.com, J-O-C-E-R-V. I didn't understand how to start it, so that's why I have a funny name.
Okay, so we're getting that into our chat room right now. Get that posted there, facebook.com/JOCERV. Just there you go.
That's right. Okay. And then also, if you go to my website, I'm all over, what do you call that, Twitter and Pinterest. Pinterest we just started, and a couple other smaller things, Google Plus and stuff. So, and then YouTube. My God, I think I got, over 7 million views and on 80 or 90 videos.
Yeah. Yeah. We're showing a lot of those videos in our Jorge Cervantes TV episodes that we run here on 420 Radio, and people really love them, including one of our chatters, Jay Maestral, says, I would not be the grower I am today without Jorge's books so many years ago. Tell him, thank you from me, Russ. He is my hero.
Well, hey, thank you so much. That means the world to me, Jay. I mean, it really does. Because, you know, there's money and then there's respect and people that like you and people that you can help. And man, that makes me feel like superb.
Right on. Here's some questions from Electric Bob. It's like a shotgun effect. He's thrown out a few of them here, so I'll do them one by one. First of all, what would you recommend for a starter set? Anything like compact fluorescence or something that someone on a budget could put together and grow a couple plants?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's real easy. What I do is I go get some of those real inexpensive shop lights and start clones with those. Usually you're into them for about 20 or 30 bucks. I haven't checked for a while. And then you can use, I mean, these LED lights, I'll probably get some flack for this because people are beating the drum on this. But I'd especially if you're new. Stay away from LED lights. Get a decent metal halide. 400 watts should do it. 600 watt lamp is usually, well, I like them quite a bit. There's a lot of different lamps and they change really quickly. And usually you go in there and buy the one that they tell you to buy. but I'd buy a 400 or 600 watt. 1,000 watts suck a lot of electricity. And it's a single point source. And so from this point, it is where all the light goes and it diminishes to the square of the distance. That's a exponential function. So what it means is the light dissipates or it fades real quickly. But if you got two of those, say if you got 400 watt ones, you've got two points, you can put them closer to the plants and it's warm and it's not as hot. So you actually get as much light out of 2 400s as you do out of 1,000 water. It's pretty funny.
That's good to know. And what about auto flowering strains? Is that something a beginner should be using or not?
Well, the main thing with auto flowering, usually the auto flowered varieties are feminized as well. And they're incredibly popular in Europe. They really took off about 6 years ago. And then 4 years ago, 5 years ago, or yeah, 4 and 3 years ago, they're just huge. They got to be huge. But what they are is you can buy them, buy just seeds. And seeds, you know, it's not illegal in Europe to cross borders with seeds, so you can make commerce with them very easily. And so, but the main thing is on those auto flowering plants, feminized or not, is the first 3 weeks of growth. That's super important because they flower after 3 weeks of growth. They're daylight neutral, which means they're not affected by light or dark, you know, photo periods. So consequently, that first 3 weeks of growth, and then they start flowering about then three and a half weeks of they start flowering. So you got to have that plant growing really fast and be super strong. Then you can make a few mistakes, because if they get off to a slow start and it takes a week or 2 weeks for them to catch up, it's already a third of their life.
Mm. All right.
So that's one thing. If I were a beginner, I would say the best thing to do would be start with cuttings or clones. They're technically called stem cuttings, but start with clones. And if you can be very, very careful when you buy them from a dispensary, if you have that opportunity, because many times those have powdery mildew and you can't tell if there's powdery mildew in them. So that's the biggest thing to be concerned with. But I'd start with clones. It's way easier.
All right. We've got a question from Jay who wants to know, was there any particular reason that you dropped your disguise?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, imagine this, going around having to wear a disguise. I mean, you know, man, my wife likes this face. I like this face. And, you know, I'm proud of it. I shouldn't have to walk around and hide. That's it. I'm proud of myself. And I'm not going to hide. I don't have to hide. I had to hide to take care of my safety. But no, I'm done.
Excellent, excellent. And about when did you stop wearing the disguise?
Well, it's really funny because I went to Spain 15 years ago and I didn't have to wear a disguise. In fact, the first what I was, the first month I was there, I got interviewed and by the radio, and then they picked me up for FNAC. FNAC was, it's the cultural store right downtown in Barcelona. I show up there, give a talk, about an hour, hour and a half is what it turned out to be. I couldn't believe it. It was standing room only everywhere. There's like 600-700 people there. And then I got on television, and it was just this face. I didn't have to wear a disguise. So I thought, here I am, a foreigner, and I don't have to wear a disguise. I go back to my country where I'm born, where I hold my passport, and I have to wear a disguise. I was pretty disgusted with myself. You know, I think maybe I don't have enough balls to walk back there. And, well, I stay out of jail, though.
Well put, well put. We got time for a couple more questions. We have a listener in Hawaii who lives off the grid, and he wants to know, are there any lights he can run off of a 12-volt deep cycle battery without using an inverter because he lives on solar power?
That's a tough one. I don't think so. Because first off, you got to change DC to AC, and that's the converter, and that's where the expense is. And then the second thing is it takes a lot of juice to run one of these lamps. First thing I did when we bought this house in America was fill the roof up with solar panels. And those things are great. We pay about $4 a month for electricity now. But for him, it's gonna be rough. I would say he should grow maybe outdoors if possible, because Hawaii is full of, got all kinds of light, but Hawaii is about the same latitude as Mexico City, and it's quite south. So the longest days, 12 and a half, maybe 13 hours, I don't think quite. And so you put the plants out, they're going to flower immediately. So all you need is a little bit of light so they don't flower. So if he can get them outside, he can just have a little bit of light just to keep them from flowering and just to break up the nighttime, and he should be fine.
Okay. We got a question from Pink Floyd 426. Wants to know if you're comfortably numb. No, wait. It says, I have a question about my female clones of several years. They turned hermy on me this time, and no males were around. What causes this?
Weak genetics. The thing is, cannabis is an outbreeding plant, like people. And people are outbreeders, you know, like you start crossing people like the same family over and over, and you get like, you know, three fingers and four holes in your nose.
You get the British royal family is what you get.
Yeah. Well, same thing happens with plants, with cannabis, because it's an outbreeder. Tomatoes are an inbreeder, and that doesn't happen with them. But with cannabis, it does. And so what happens, you cross these plants, and there's, you've got your chromosomes and then the genes. And then within the genes, they're split in two, and you got the alleles. Well, there's dominant and recessive traits of a plant. And usually the recessive traits don't show up until the third generation strong. And so a lot of these guys just cross plants, and they come up with a great name. They smoke five joints, and they're an expert, and they talk a lot, but there's no stability there. That's one of the things we're going to find in the future. I'd love to have registered varieties like they do in the regular plant world. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's definitely coming. Legalization is going to bring more of this, bring more science into it, more documentation. I think that's nothing but a good thing for cannabis consumers and growers alike. Jorge Cervantes is the author of the Cannabis Encyclopedia that's coming out this spring, and of course, every great cannabis growing book that you ever read. Jorge, thank you so much for joining us, and I encourage everyone to check out your website and your Facebook.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Russ. Have a pleasant afternoon, and I hope it rains all night, man. We really need the rain.
All right. Praying for rain, man. Thank you so much, Jorge, for joining us. Everybody, really appreciate you being here on the show.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. For 420radio.org, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you drink it.